Blog Talk Radio.
Just talk about that. It's been a long time. I shouldn't have left you without a strong rhyme to step to. Think of how many weeks you just slept through. Time's up, I'm sorry I kept you. Thinking of this, you keep repeating your myth. The rhymes from the microphone solo with. So you sit by the radio and on the dial soon. As you hear it, pump up the volume. Dance with the speaker till you hear it blow. Then plug in a headphone, cause here it go. It's a four-letter word when it's heard to control your body to dance. So, dot text the tempo like a red alert. Reach it to reflex and let it work. When this is playing, you can't get stuck with the steps. So good say, and I'ma still come up with a gift to be swift. Follow the leader, the rhyme will go deaf with the record that was mixed a long time ago. It could be done, but only I could do it. For those that could dance, then clap your hands to it. I start to think, and then I sink into the paper like I was in.
Yeah, what's going on, people out there? This is the Turn Up. I am your host, Vincent Perez, and my beautiful co-host,
Camelia Perez.
We're live on the air on Blog Talk Radio. That's www.blogtalkradio.com/theturnup. We're also doing something new right now. We got the actual live stream on Facebook. So if you want to check us out, we're actually on Facebook right now, live streaming it up. You know what I'm saying?
Hello.
Hello. I'm keeping it real. So want to also give a shout-out first and foremost to my beautiful wife. Happy Mother's Day.
Thank you, sir.
And I'm trying to make it lovely for her. We've already had the crab cakes. That's the first course of the seafood extravaganza that I try to do every year. I do every year for the wife, you know, crab legs, salmon, rice.
You bought salmon?
Yeah, I did. Season, it's waiting. Okay?
6 o'clock, it's a little late. You thought that I'd have ate by now. But
wow.
I much prefer this to how Vincent usually does it, because I love him, but he doesn't have any patience, and he likes to get the project done. He likes to complete it. So years before, he would serve me food course after course after course after course. Like within 3 hours, I would have had breakfast, lunch.
I shovel food down her mouth. I actually tie her to the bed.
So he can stop. Like doing stuff.
Yeah,
so.
I tie it to the bed. I shovel food.
You ready? You're not ready to eat?
You ready?
Ready?
Yeah.
You hungry?
5 minutes after. That's
just
what I do.
Let me know when you're hungry.
That's
hungry?
What I do.
You hungry?
I do.
Yeah,
I do.
So I prefer this, you know, eating throughout the day. This is much better.
All right. The number to call in is 929-477-1863. Again, that number is 929-477-1863. I want to give a shout out to all the mothers out there. Happy Mother's Day. Those who are with us and those who are not with us. Shout out to my mom up there in heaven. Shout out to Dale Munn,
my mom,
Camellia's mother in heaven, both looking down at us and gave us a beautiful sunny day outside. Shout out to that. I went and did my Puerto Rican just do and got some candles and some white flowers and said my prayer to my mom, to my grandmother. Shout out to my Titi Marta. To my Titi Carmen, who's doing her thing. You know, happy Mother's Day to both you guys. Shout out to my cousin Vanessa. Happy Mother's Day. Naomi, happy Mother's Day. Okay? Happy Mother's Day to all the mothers out there that are doing their thing each and every day, raising these kids out there. All right?
Raising these kids.
Raising these,
right.
raising these seeds. You know what I'm saying, son? So, again, we are live on the air, Blog Talk Radio, and we also live on what's this, live stream on Facebook, so check us out there. Also, who else am I going to shout out? I want to shout out
Liza,
my cousin Liza. Congratulations. You know what I'm saying? I'm not going to blow it up. Just congratulations. All right? Shout out to my cousin Missy. Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day. Shout out to my homegirl Missy Ula. Happy Mother's Day. All the other mothers out there that really do their thing every day, you know, especially single mothers. My mother was a single mother. Camellia's mother was a single mother. They had their marriages to assholes, but that's a whole other story. But anyway.
And another show. Cheryl Brown.
CB in the house. No doubt. Shout out to CB. That's a superwoman right there. That is a superwoman right there. Once again, the number to call in is 929-477-1863. Shout out to Alric Campbell, Mac Burnett, my man AD, Andre Dow, who was kind of like breaking my chops.
Where you at, Dow? Where's Dre?
You know,
Dre's
well,
always first in the chat room.
Yeah,
I
didn't launch a chat room, so that's what I didn't do. Okay. I wanna give a shout out to Dre in particular. Shout out to my man Bing, who also lost his mom. Shout out to my man Emmy, who lost his mom. I know how you feel. Yo, my man Bing sent me a very touching message today that had me in tears. I'm not afraid to say I seen a grown man cry. You know what I'm saying? It was real.
What's wrong with that?
Nothing wrong with that. Okay. Enough love to that. You know what I'm saying? So, in respect to him, because his mother was a beautiful person, one of the best cooks I knew.
Mm.
Boy, she cooked stuff good, so.
What was your favorite thing she cooked?
Oh, man. Just about anything she had at the crib. It was usually in Tupperware, ready to go. Her best was stewed chicken. I've had her stewed chicken, curry chicken.
What was your favorite thing your mom cooked?
My mom's? I mean, arroz con habichuela, why not? You know, white rice, red beans, and her chicken. I also liked her lasagna. I also liked her meatballs, spaghetti meatballs. And last but not least, my mother's chocolate cake, which is world famous.
World famous?
To me. To the family. To the Frankie's family out there. They know what's up.
Yes.
The cakes were world famous, all right?
I love my mom's barbecue wings.
Yeah, your mom's made some good wings.
Sticky barbecue wings. Oh,
she used to put her entire foot in there and swirl it around.
And she would make lima bean and, like, whatever meat she felt like making, whether it was turkey or neck bones or just good. Just
goodness.
Just a big pot of lima beans. Good gosh. But definitely I would say the barbecue wings, which my sister and I both have the recipe.
Yes.
Nobody does it like us. So.
No. Your wings are a bit infamous in my family, too. Shout out to my cousin Naomi, Frankie's Nelson. She's a big fan
they
of the wings.
Shout them wings out.
Yes, and the macaroni and cheese. This is what I was talking. Ladies and gentlemen, I came home the other day, and I saw. I knew it was macaroni and cheese, but I didn't want to play myself and lift up. See, I'm salivating right now. I don't want to play myself and lift up the aluminum foil and see something healthy. So I waited. I kind of.
That's how it is these days.
I kind of sniffed around. I was like, smells like pasta, possibly macaroni and cheese. And to my glorious surprise, it was a big pot of macaroni and cheese there that I ate my damn self.
Well, I made it for you.
Yes.
You know.
You're my lover. Hey.
Anything for the kids.
Shout out to my comedy shout out. Shout out to the Urban Stooges, Sharif Johnson, Dave Sanchez, Alex Esquire, and also give a shout out to my man A.G. White, who's been my mentor at this point. I could say he's my mentor. Shout him out for putting me on shows. I was at the Laugh Den this past Wednesday. I'll be there this coming Wednesday, May 11th. 8:30, they start a Empire viewing. They have an Empire viewing of the show, followed by a comedy show. So please come out. He introduced me to one of the creators of Def Jam, which was like, wow. You know, all I could say is, nice to meet you, sir, because this man, you know, Def Jam. If you don't know who Def Jam comedy is, you've been in a fucking cave your entire life. It wasn't Russell Simmons. It was one of the creators. Russell Simmons, of course, has co-created. So there was a gentleman I met. Also, I met another lady who was another person that was instrumental in it who actually told me that I was funny. So that was a very big boost for me personally. Again, shout out to A.G. White, a very funny brother, very cool, down-to-earth dude, man. He's been giving me a lot of love. We got the Laugh Den again Wednesday, May 11th, Empire Viewing Show. It starts at 8:30. It's the 78 Lounge is the name of the spot, the 78 Lounge. That's at 1564 Union Avenue in Union, New Jersey. So if you're in the New Jersey area and you want to come through, definitely come through. It's going to be a lot of laughs, good fun. The food there was very good, actually. I had a grilled chicken sandwich. Delightful. Delightful.
Is that the place with the oxtails?
They don't have. See, you know what? I didn't even ask about the oxtails because they have a restaurant downstairs. But I was at the bar, so they had, like, bar food, so, like, chicken wings. But their grilled chicken sandwich, again, was quite delightful. Waffle fries. You got to be a fan of the waffle fry. So, once again, shout out to all my family and friends out there and all the mothers out there who really do their thing.
Exactly.
Happy Mother's Day, or how they say it in the hood, happy mother. Happy Mother's Day.
With a V.
You know what I'm saying? Keep it this veil all day. And shout out to my beautiful one here, beautiful mother. I can't say enough. She's raised our daughter to be a, excuse my language, a fucking soldier. All right, she's smart, she's intelligent, she's beautiful, and she did a good job raising my little monster that's in the living room right now on the iPad. Shout out to my beautiful and lovely daughter, Amaya Perez, who was in the building. I have both of my baby girls here with me, and it means a lot to me.
He should actually be, have a pig nose and, like, swimming in mud right now.
Yes.
Like
yes, I am.
That's how he feels.
Yes, I am, Sister Betty. I got my Malcolm X's on right now.
Brother Malcolm,
get the pose popping right now. So, without further to do, tonight's show is going to be on recklessness, in particular, recklessness of the mouth, and how being reckless with your mouth basically fuels discontent, which then becomes a tsunami of negative energy, okay? You know, you talk about, in particular, World Star. When you talk about negativity, you think about Mona Scott. And if you don't know who Mona Scott is, that's the lady who basically created love and hip-hop and anything with love and hip-hop in it, whether it's Atlanta, New York, Florida, I don't know. They got love and hip-hop everywhere. And it's, you know, it's ironic they call it love and hip-hop because it's nothing but ratchetness and fighting and violence, and it's
devoid of love.
Yeah, it's devoid of love. You know, Wendy Williams, another person who kind of spouts, you know, ignorance and creates this, you know, just negativity. And you know, basically, we got the idea from the show, from in particular
a post we saw Method Man do.
So we're going to play that for you guys now, so you can listen to that. And you know, we'll go from there. You got it queued up, babe?
Word.
Word, son.
I hate fucking Wendy Williams. I hate anybody that does hack shit to get money. I think that's hack shit. They ride other people's backs and coattails to get where they at, to get their position. And then what do they do after that? Because if they didn't have y'all people here, they wouldn't even be existing right now. What if World Star took y'all business? Let's say your mother had cancer, and World Star put that shit up for the world to see. Would you fuck with them again after that?
No.
But I bet you $5 if you were somebody with a name behind you, they'd do that shit in a heartbeat.
Oh, yeah,
I hate all that shit, man. Fuck that. That shit has nothing to do with hip-hop. It's not hip-hop. Back in the day, fuck that. Not even back in the day, nigga. Right now, if you told a nigga business in the street, you had to see him because he's going to fuck you up later on. So I want to start a movement. I'm saying it right here, right now. I want to start a movement, right? I don't give a fuck what website it is. If you spewing motherfucking bad energy about niggas in the game and shit, us artists need to come together, get pictures of these motherfuckers, put them up on the fucking line, and let y'all whoop their ass every time they show up to a fucking... I'm telling you, it's going to get so bad that y'all motherfuckers going to have to walk around with helmets on your head 24/7, because niggas is going to be popping bottles on y'all niggas, man. I hate y'all motherfuckers. I said it. I hate y'all motherfucking gossiping ass, dumb ass motherfuckers. Kiss my ass. I done fucking did so much fucking shit in my community, I ain't never seen that shit on World Star. I bought fucking uniforms for my son's fucking football team because they ain't had none. I ain't see that shit on World Star, but I spit in the air, the shit land on my chin, that shit on World Star all over the fucking place. And y'all niggas is on there commenting on that shit. Get a life, bitches. Get a fucking life. Because if it was you, you would not like that shit. Tell them niggas mind their business,
shit.
Get their own business. You know what I'm saying? Peace!
Wu-Tang.
There you have it.
I will say what he proposed as far as a website to say who these people are, to call people out so they could get beat up. I don't support that because I think that's reckless. But I definitely think that people should be called out for recklessness. for reckless language, for reckless behavior. There should be a system for that. I agree, but to get beat up.
Well, you gotta understand the messenger.
I mean, that's hood. I get it.
That's Method Man. Remember when Method Man did that? Yeah, that's Method Man. Okay, and it's method, but it's actually method. So meth is gonna say some things that are quite hoodish, but I can definitely relate and understand where he's coming from, because again, the negativity shit that really goes, that's popping off right now, is kind of crazy. And you know, a lot of these websites, in particular WorldStar, and there's a plethora of words of websites like WorldStar out there. I can't name them, but I know WorldStar is the most infamous one. I mean, every time you go on WorldStar, it's either somebody getting beat up, somebody fighting somebody, and they report this to me is negativity, or at least that's what I see being posted via Facebook. You know, Facebook can be such a great thing. It gets you, it allows you to communicate with people and to kind of get together and do certain things. But, you know, a lot of it is just negativity. I mean, I know for myself, I know I'm not perfect. I be posting some shit sometimes, negative and positive. But I also, what I do realize is that
you could be downright bipolar.
I could be very bipolar at times, all right? But what I do realize and notice is that when I post something positive, only really the positive people react. But when I post something negative, I get a lot of negative reactions, or I get a lot of co-signing. People like to wallow in shit. It's like people who like to, when you're driving and you see an accident and people tend to like want to slow down to see if there's a head rolling on the concrete. That's
exactly
the type of thing. Now, I got a couple of my friends who will call me out on my shit. One particular, Gerald Myers, shout him out, because he will say, "Why are you so fucking mad?" And then he'll talk about me being Cuban or something like that, which is cool. It's jokes. But he'll call me on my negative stuff, you know. He's one of those people. But a lot of folks like,
where
yeah,
you know him
right.
from?
Oh, I know Gerald since high school. He's one of my true blue homeboys from high school. Very cool dude. He lives down in Atlanta. Shout out to all the folks in Atlanta that may be listening to this or watching this live view.
We're on the hair.
We're actually on the hair on Blog Talk Radio. That's www.blogtalkradio.com/theturnup. This is The Turn Up, and we're on a live stream right now via Facebook. So, again, so there's a lot of negativity out there and recklessness with the mouth. But recklessness, I think, can run the gambit as far as, like, not just, like, reckless hood shit, but, like, reckless politics.
Hmm.
I mean, perfect example. I mean,
Donald Trump, that's his job right now.
Donald Trump is the king of reckless politics. And, you know, like it or not, this motherfucker is the Republican. He is going to be the Republican nominee. Do I think he's got a snowball chance in hell to win the presidency? I don't think so. Because the media will have you believe that his followers are in the billions and, the hundreds of millions, when really it's not. It's the way they view things. They can make a rally look like it's 1,000 people there when there's only 100 people there.
That's true.
You know what I mean? So it's the perception of Fox News and the
perception is everything.
Yes.
Perception is everything, though.
Perception of Fox News and all the media outlets that are trying to push this whole
agenda.
Trump shit, because he sells papers, he sells advertising dollars, and he's sitting there and he's spewing all his hatred, and the motherfucker he's the nominee right now. Because Ted Cruz and the rest of those fucking clowns, they couldn't do anything, and they were a bunch of idiots anyway. So we have the biggest idiot for the Republican Party. I saw the cover of Daily News where they said it was the end of the Republican Party, and it showed like a RIP with a gravestone or whatever.
I'm still waiting for something, you know, to happen that's going to pull him out. Something.
I don't know.
I don't know either.
I don't think it's going to happen. I think he has enough money to shut shit down. He is running with his own money. He's an unconscionable, irresponsible prick.
Back to recklessness, though.
Recklessness, okay? Recklessness in politics. recklessness in religion.
Mm.
You know, last week Gregorio Smith called in, and he was talking about, we were talking about just charting out Prince in particular, and he made a comment in regards to how religion can stifle
or suppress
artistic abilities or
creativity
in particular. So you have recklessness in religion when you're talking about just, I don't know, I mean, some of the
I think it's reckless. A prime example what comes to mind for me in religion is when you have someone like a Creflo Dollar.
Mm.
Is that really his name? I don't know.
Yeah, right.
I don't know. How you have someone like a Creflo Dollar who wants a billion-dollar jet, making it the responsibility of the congregation to get him this jet. That's reckless to me. I think it's reckless of these men of faith, and not just them, politicians, the rich across the board, but I think it's reckless how these men of the cloth have these churches. A lot of times in these poorer neighborhoods, and they don't do much, if anything, for the community that they're supposed to serve. That's reckless to me. It's reckless to show up in your million-dollar car and ask of people and hold them accountable to, you know, the Bible and paying tithes and offering on top of that when they're there literally to pray for a way to pay their mortgage or their rent or their child's tuition to whether it's secondary school or primary school. I think that is reckless.
Y'all better come up with this money, see, because I need my the new Spur Phantom.
And we'll catch we'll have attitudes. I've been in church where they start calling people out.
Yeah.
You know, and don't let your check bounce.
You got more than $10, brother.
They will call you out. You can no longer write a check in this church. You have bounced a check 2-3 times. If you don't have cash, like, what kind of hustle is that?
Bring a money order.
You are strong-arming your congregation. Man,
you know, I saw, I think it was one of these CNN or one of these news outlets that was saying there was a woman that had passed away that was a member of a church for a number of years and might have been short on her tithes or whatever,
She was delinquent.
She was delinquent with them ends, right? So the pastor, I believe, wouldn't allow her to have the funeral service there.
Yeah.
And wouldn't, I think, preside over the services and basically was trying to strong-arm the daughter of the mother. And the daughter had said the mother had been an integral part of this particular church
for decades,
30, 40 years.
No, it was more than that. The woman was like 90-something, right? And she had been a member of that church for at least 80 years.
She probably is a member of that church. She probably was one of the first people to put a brick up on that church. And the guy didn't want to do it, so... I mean, how reckless is that? That is just negativity.
That's just irresponsible, though, man. It's like, but every leader does not know how to lead.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's across the board. I don't care if that's a person in your house or someone at your job, your supervisor.
Yeah, I know a lot of
reckless. Who don't know how to talk to people.
I know a lot of reckless motherfuckers at my
job.
Whether
it's a leader in your church, your community, every leader doesn't know how to lead.
Yes.
So, you know, just because that's the head of the church doesn't mean they have communication skills, doesn't mean they have leadership skills, and they don't necessarily know how to rally the troops.
Mm-mm.
You know, a good leader knows how to inspire and motivate the people around them to be the best that they can be so that you can draw the best things from them and make the entity a great thing, not just you and your name.
Mm-hmm.
Great.
Very true. Very true. Thank you, Sister Betty.
You know what?
No, but really, though, I think where we're at right now when you talk about the state of the community, in particular, what we see as just recklessness with the youth and how they seem not to give a shit. I think we shouldn't be so reckless with our mouth, with our mouths, and kind of.
What do you mean, like cursing?
Talk. No. I'm not talking about cursing.
Okay.
'Cause I fucking curse. Curses. Fuck that. I'm talking about recklessness in regards to our mouths and how we talk about the 18 and 19 year olds today. And you know, we may not like their style or their music, but we have to stop being so reckless towards them. And I know I'm guilty of that because some of these little motherfuckers need their ass kicked. But with that being said, I think it's also our job to kind of bring them in the fold and show them a different way. You know, we can't sit back because a lot of these kids out there, you know, especially when you have your Fergusons or your shootings, you got a lot of these cats out there. Now, some of them may not, you know, come across with the right lingo or language or the King's English, but
the
they got
King's
heart.
King's English? Is that to the Queen?
To the Queen. The King's English. But, I think we shouldn't be so reckless and so quick to write them off. Because a lot of them got hearts and lines out there, but some of them need, I guess, just direction, you know. Because it boils down to what I said earlier about Mona Scott and just the whole love and hip hop phenomenon right now, and how they tend to kind of create this thing. It's supposed to be love and hip hop, and it's just ratchetness. It's constant fucking ratchetness. It's like. This one is sleeping with that one, and no, there's really no hip hop on the show. I don't hear any. You got every.
There is.
You got
on.
Commercials, yeah, and it's
there
like
is.
Dumb shit.
It's not usually good.
What was we watching today on YouTube, babe? Who was
Cardi
on?
B?
Cardi B.
She had
Shippy
two videos, right?
Whatever the fuck.
Shipster. No shit.
Oh my God, that's an ignorant chick, but she's this personality, right? But it's like these personalities are young women and our young men are aspiring to be.
Yes. That's
and Mona Scott can give two fucks because she's laughing all the way to the bank. I was walking through, Walmart one day, buying some food or whatever. And this chick was having this conversation that caught my ear. And she was talking about love and hip hop and the characters as if they were her peoples, like she was on a first name. Because you know what Carly said to what's name, it was crazy. And I'm thinking like, wow, you are so sucked into that matrix that you kind of these are like your folks. You know, you cool with them. That's your peoples. And it goes to show how reckless the media is, and that particular program, for instance, wrangles people in. You know,
and encourages us to talk to one another.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
in any shape or form, yeah. and everything, everybody's a bitch, and everybody's a motherfucker, and you know, this one is this, and this one is that. It's just crazy. You know what I mean? Shout out to Cosmo Rivera. You know what I'm saying? Showing up in the chat room. You know what I'm saying?
Love and Hip Hop is the new age minstrel show, brainwashing today's youth. Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Yes. Sir.
Very, very true, Kaz. You ain't never
Modern
tell a lie. Yes.
Show.
Yes. It is.
It is.
You know,
it is.
Again.
And we're not going to sit here and act like it's not entertaining on some level.
Mm-hmm.
Because it can be. You can get sucked in until, just like anything else, and you realize, mm-hmm. what the hell am I watching?
Yeah, yeah.
What
yeah.
am I watching?
You know, I want to give a shout out to my man Alric Campbell, who is
so
anti love and hip hop to the point of but you know what? To his credit, Alric's a photographer and has been in the photography / media / you know, I guess media business for over 20 years now. You know, so he has a different perspective, and he knows, you know, he was breaking it down from the other side of just how nothing is by accident, how
right.
they basically place product placement and all of that. Like, if you ever take a look, like, I was watching an 80s movie and, like, how they had the Coca-Cola can or the Pepsi or whatever, depending on what product was sponsoring or giving money towards the movie, but... yeah, he was just breaking it down how he can't stand it. And it does. And it's irresponsible, ratchet
people. And how the rating effect, how the viewership affects how many more seasons might be awarded them.
Yes.
Or just the whole domino effect.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, not even going into that aspect of it,
mm-hmm.
you know, Cosmo said that it is entertaining, but after a while it gets old.
It does.
And it doesn't take that long. We talked about this on another show years ago about
mm.
how my thing was how it kind of gets into your spirit.
Mm.
You know, as a woman watching and being invested in how they speak to one another, just having that energy in your body, in your head, just in your spirit, like watching it and you coming in late and we good.
Yeah.
But like, what you say?
Yeah.
Having that energy, it, like what?
It's if you, you know, I challenge anyone who watches that show to have one of those, you know, those counters that count things, just like a little, it's like a little metal thing and
yeah,
they count like. Yeah, you click it like when people, like when you're going to
an
venue and an event and there's a guy, he's got that little metal thing. I challenge you to have that counter and count the numbers of bitch, the time they say bitch. At least it has to be a, but there has to be a world record for the time, the amount of times that any one of those characters say the word bitch. They don't use that. I haven't heard them say nigga. But it's bitch, 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 and that bitch, and this bitch, and bitch, 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 bitch. And it just, I mean, like Camille just said, you hear that, and, you know, I come in from work or whatever, and I'm like, hey, babe, and it's like I get the, and it's not that she gives me the look, but it that negative energy almost comes out of the TV screen and engulfs you, you know, or vice versa. If I'm watching DVR or I'm watching a rerun, and Camille comes back from a nice, peaceful hour and a half of yoga, I'm charged, like, how was yoga class? You know,
and that was initially when we stopped, when we were on guard as far as watching it, and we stopped watching. There was, like, a season that we missed
mm-hmm.
because it was just like, not going to do it,
mm-hmm.
not going to do it, not going to do it,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Yeah, term of endearment, that's correct. Like, that, this whole... This, the, you know, Cosmo just said the words bitch and hoe on the show is like a term of endearment.
It's
very
not
true.
Like,
It is. It's unfortunate, though. You know, once again, the number to call in is 929-477-1863. This is the turn up. We're going into the next half an hour.
It's been 30 minutes.
It's been 30 minutes so far. You know, we're live on live stream on Facebook. So if you listening and you want to go see us, we're on live stream and Facebook.
Hello,
how are you? Yeah, loving hip hop. Even like daytime TV, like you were saying, you had an eloquent soliloquy earlier about the whole thing. It was very eloquent.
You
kind of like inspired the show after we watched the Method Man clip. You were talking about Dr. Phil and even what's the other doctor's name? Dr. Oz, and like it's like this reckless voicing of like Dr. Oz sells you like those teaser moments, like you've got to watch the next 10 minutes because Dr. Oz is going to break down how you might have cancer.
Well, that's just ratings, but
that's,
you know,
reckless.
That's the shock factor. But I honestly see Dr. Oz, and he probably won't be on television, you know, for the next 10, 15 years. He probably won't do it that long because he strikes me as a person who is concerned with his spirituality and being grounded. So I know I think it's a struggle for him.
Mm-hmm.
To play the TV game and stay true to the messages he wants to send as a doctor
mm-hmm.
and how he wants to enlighten people as a doctor. That's my perception. That's what I think I see.
Mm-hmm.
Because you have to play the marketing game. You have to play the like you say, the tease, the pop, the guessing, the mm-hmm. have them coming and going. 1 week, this is good. Next month, that same thing ain't good for you. So, you know, they have you coming, they have you going, but they always have you watching. And that's always their agenda,
mm-hmm.
is the ratings and the ability to send you that frequency and those messages.
I think, like, you take the Oz formula, that's just mass media, the news and all of that. Like these fucking, like, nightly news channel, whatever channel you watch, the 11 o'clock news, like, they tease you from, like, 9 o'clock to, like, 11.
Start in the morning.
Yeah, the new cancer, you know what I mean? It's the Zika virus. And I think one person has got the virus so far, but they, Zika alert, you know what I'm saying?
Don't travel. Yeah, and they've put the kibosh on traveling to certain countries.
Yeah, yeah.
Based on the Zika virus, based on mosquitoes.
And coincidentally, a lot of those...
And don't come home and have sex.
Yeah.
Don't get pregnant.
Yeah, because you might have a baby with two heads. Coincidentally...
No, a little head.
A little head. Shrunken head. Nobody needs a shrunken head baby. that's not funny, but it
is. It's not funny.
Coincidentally, a lot of those countries, I find, are usually anti-GMO, anti-war, or, you know, they don't support the American agenda in regards to banking or a way of lifestyle or even the way we fucking eat food. Like, I forgot what South American country, I don't know, it was Bolivia,
Argentina,
Chile, Argentina.
Venezuela.
It was one of the ones that I regularly hear about. I don't know if it's Bolivia or Chile or Argentina. One of these countries basically banned McDonald's. They got rid of McDevils. They said, we don't want any more fake fucking burgers in our fucking feeding our fucking kids. So get that shit out of here. And I tell you right now, if I lived in Bolivia as good as the food is over there, I wouldn't be eating no goddamn McDonald's. But, you know, those things, those McDonald's and Burger King and Wendy's and all that shit, that's for Americans to eat when they go there, because they don't want to eat the water, they don't want to eat the food, they don't want to drink the water, they don't want the food. What if I get the runs? Eating McDonald's gives you cancer. Fuck the runs. You know what I'm saying? So it's like they like, where was we, babe, when we were?
Not for nothing, but if you are a person who is still eating fast food, just question that.
Yeah.
Just evaluate that and ask yourself what you're eating.
That's reckless.
Well, I don't want to sound judgmental in this moment because there was a time when we ate fast food.
Number
but
two with orange drink all day.
When you know better, you do better.
Mm-hmm.
But at a certain age, you should be asking yourself and the world around you certain questions.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember when McDonald's was expensive.
Yeah. And it was a treat.
I'm not even going there.
Mm-hmm.
I remember when it wasn't cheap. If you mm-hmm. didn't have $10, you weren't going to have a good McDonald's trip.
Mm-hmm.
So why is it that you can get 10 little pieces of garbage?
For $1.50? If that? $3?
How is it that you can be fed full, completely full, busting out of your pants
$5.
With a drink this big, with a drink I can't even won't even fit in the frame, with a drink the size of your gas tank? How is it that you can do that for $5?
32 ounces of liquid sugar, yellow.
All I'm saying is
yellow liquid.
Ask yourself, what am I eating? And how can McDonald's profit? Everybody's in business for a profit. McDonald's
mm-hmm.
is no different. Come
mm-hmm.
on. How can they profit by lowering the prices and giving you more? More of what?
More of garbage.
What am I eating?
The
truth is that it's not food.
You know what's crazy is that I was, I forgot where we were. I think we were at Tiffany's house, and there was a gentleman there, and he made a very good point.
This is a branding.
About a year ago.
He was talking about
branding. And then the actual taste.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you go to, let's just say another type of, if you go to Chili's restaurant in Jersey City and you go to the Chili's like maybe in New York, there's going to be a different taste because really, you know, they're about a step above McDonald's, but how, you know, the chef at the Chili's in Jersey City will not cook the same way as the one in Manhattan, right? There's going to be slight differences in taste, maybe even freshness, depending on how often the food is being turned around, what have you. But McDonald's has gone as far as branding the taste. Like, you can get a McDonald's burger in California, in New York, South Carolina, and fucking Louisiana, and they all taste the same. The McDonald's, and what it does is it invokes an experience in your brain of a nostalgic feeling or a safe feeling.
Right.
Like, I know that the burger is going to taste just like it does anywhere I go, and it's safe.
I got a taste for this, and if I get it, I won't be disappointed.
I won't be disappointed. The only difference is that maybe the condiments they use, because outside of New York they use mustard and stuff like that, so the condiments might be different. But the actual standard McDonald's taste, the fries always taste the same. The fucking burgers always taste the same. The damn nuggets always taste the same. So it's like, you know, they got your mind tricked. You know, that's reckless in itself. You're trying
another,
to keep to the theme of recklessness.
Another clue, as far as whether it's food or not, is that feeling that you just talked about. You know, having the taste for it, getting it, not being disappointed. 5 minutes after you eat it, just take note of how you feel.
Oh, man, depressed like a motherfucker.
Just because it's exciting. If you think about it, getting excited, yes.
Gonna almost get that number two. Fucking commercial.
Almost there. Gonna change, light change.
Gonna get that number two.
And you get it, you in line, all excited, you're dancing on the inside.
Ooh,
you get that bag, it's the first thing you got to do. You got to get
eat
them fries.
Eat some wood chips, yo.
Then as you're eating it, oh, my gosh.
Why did I do this?
No, he's still excited.
Yeah,
he's still
yeah.
in that pumped up phase.
Oh. Get that number two.
Almost wishing you had gotten another one.
Yes.
You get one for later.
Yep.
5 minutes after you finish eating.
Depressed. Depressed.
About why you ate so much, why you ate that.
This is, yeah.
Or about something else going on in your life.
I hate my life.
Oh,
McDonald's. I hate you.
Chemicals.
Yo, have you ever, this is when you know McDonald's is not really for human consumption. Have you ever gone to McDonald's, put that shit in your car, leave your car, and go in your car the next day? It smells like a fucking dog was covered in wet molasses and drowned and died in your car. This shit stinks. Like, McDonald's has a smell to it after the fact.
Yeah.
And that comes out of you when you eat it. Because I know it got to a point for me, this is when I knew my body was, like, telling me something. When I would eat McDonald's and 5 minutes later, I got to go to the bathroom because it was just, like, it was horrible. It was horrible. Got to get that number two. Anyway.
And then every time they change something or, you know, they change this or this tastes different, and then not long after that, we'll get a report about somebody serving jackass meat.
Yeah.
You know, rats found, you know, for the restaurant, and then they want to get the public's opinion on that.
Mm-hmm.
So now, we better not say that that's what we're doing.
Yeah.
Because now we know how they really feel about it. But I think that the way this world is, you have to expand your mind, and you have to open up you have to be willing to substitute what you know.
Yeah.
Like, don't be surprised if you're eating squirrel meat.
Yeah, wolf meat.
Or wolf meat.
Yeah, wolf meat.
Or horses.
Horses.
Or dogs, because, just because. How about that? And we talked about this before, too.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
On prior shows.
We got a caller on the line, calling out of the 612. I'm going to put them on right now.
Are we?
Yeah.
That's what we do.
Yeah, why not? Let's put them on the air. Put them on the air.
You're on the air from 612, area code.
Hold on, I pressed the button. Hello, hello, from the 612. Who do we have on the air? This is Vincent and Camellia. What's up?
Good evening, guys. Hello. My name is Michael. How are you guys doing?
I'm good, Mike. How are you?
Hi, Mike.
Doing good, sir. I was wondering if you don't mind me asking, are you guys like atheist or agnostic, or what's your worldview as far as how you see things?
We're not atheists.
We're not atheists. I don't personally. I believe in there being a supreme being. Whether or not, you know, I don't believe that he's sitting on a throne with a white beard or anything like that. I think there's a, I guess a more energy view and for, with
higher power.
Okay, so you guys would then believe that there was a creator that formed the universe and put the laws in place that we see in physics and that we see in our physical universe?
I don't know if I can get with that per se, because I think I think I take a more scientific view of how the universe was created, but I believe that, you know, there are energies out there. You know, energy never dies. So again, I believe that there's certain energies and things of that nature that kind of manipulate the goings on, so to speak. I don't think it's like a supreme being per se, because the reason why I say it, Mike, is that it I question the fact that, first of all, we're not the only planet out there that has life on it. I'm sure out there in the universe is another planet. And my question would be like, well, what do they believe in? Do they believe in the same thing we believe in? Which one is right, which one is wrong? So I believe in, like, I guess a universal flow of energy. Things happen for a reason. That's basically it. I don't want to feel arrogant in thinking that our view as a planet is correct and everybody else out there in the universe, which there's got to be life, just based on sheer numbers, that they're wrong and we're right.
Yeah, if I could, I could probably suggest a book called Privileged Planet. It was done by a professor in astronomy from Iowa State, and he talked about the factors when it comes to the universe to have a planet that could actually sustain life. And he talked about, for example, a lot of people use the formula of saying, well, there's X number of stars with X number of planets, therefore the probability of there being life on other planets should be very high. But then he He discussed about how there's so many factors that come into place to allow planets being positioned to even sustain life, everything from the distance from the actual star to its even location within a galaxy. It actually reduces that percentage significantly, and I really suggest, you know, you can check that book out. He also put a documentary out on the subject as well under the same name, Privileged Planet, which will probably go into some of the ideas you suggested. But the reason I bring that up is most people who are into, you know, astronomy or physics that I talk to have an academic background. Based on the fact that our universe is very fine-tuned and has a lot of laws in place that we're able to discern most of it mathematically, even if you have a background in physics, that they say that our universe, for those who believe that it came about on its own, is that we're a byproduct of a multiverse where there were multiple different universes that didn't have the fine-tuned order that we have in our universe. And our universe was the one out of whatever number of them that actually came out perfectly balanced the way ours is. So that's why I asked you, then, do you believe in that concept, or how do you believe that the universe came about with the order and structure that it has, if there wasn't a God or a being or something that put it in such, created the balance necessary for it to function?
I think, well, I mean, what you said is a great viewpoint. I wouldn't even call it an argument. It's a great viewpoint. I would definitely want to check out that book and the documentary that you're talking about, because it would probably give me more information on just the mathematics involved in it. I guess, you know, if you think about the mathematics and just the vastness of the universe, I guess things happen eventually. I don't know if there's a person pushing the buttons. My problem is, to be honest with you, Mike, is I guess man's concept, or the overall man's belief of it being like a being of some sort. I think that's what I have a problem with. And I think we get caught up on having to put a face to God. That's my problem with religion, with organized religion, not spirituality. I believe that there's an energy, whether you want to call it God, Allah, what have you. But what kind of throws me off the path is just the whole, it has to be a certain way, and it looks this way, and if you don't believe in how this looks, then you're crazy. So that's probably why I kind of fall off the path. But believing in there's a supreme being or there's an energy, I would say more of an energy than an actual being, because that's kind of being, I guess, arrogant as human beings to think that we can actually put a name to something like that.
Well, I think maybe the word being might be, if you have issue with that, that's one thing. But I think we'd have to agree that there'd have to be some type of a mind. For example, I used to be a very staunch atheist and someone that was very anti-religion. And then when you start to actually study the matters and look at things, especially because I have a scientific background, and when I looked at, say, microbiology, and you look at genetics, for example, which is a huge, it's a tremendous field in the last 10 years that just exploded tremendously, especially with our advances in technology and our ability to study things at such a small level that we weren't able to see before. Now, in genetics, there's a huge issue in the field that basically it's almost taken away the ground that atheists used to be able to stand on when it came to scientific research, in the sense that when we look at genetics, we see the DNA as densely packed information. And to use an analogy for people who don't have a background on that, DNA basically is like a software coded information, like a binary code. And it's put in a way that your body then operates as a computer system, where your brain is the processor, like a chip in a computer, that reads the information that's coded within the DNA. And then your body's organs are like the hardware that basically functions off information that's sent to it from the processor, which is your brain. And a lot of people don't realize that's how your body operates. And so a lot of scientists in the field are answering the question of, number one, first and foremost, where does this information come from that we see coded within DNA? And secondly, where is the new information coming from that's supposedly pushing the evolutionary process? Because Darwin made the assumption that the process of natural selection is what brought the new DNA that caused changes in species over time. But today we understand that the process of natural selection only chooses from existing information and actually reduces the gene pool's information over time. As an example, take dogs, right? Over time, you can breed dogs to have certain length of hair, certain size, certain colors, and that comes from selecting certain traits and features and rejecting others over time to cause the dog to change and look a certain way. And that's exactly what the process of natural selection does. But what it's doing is it's choosing from existing information. It's not presenting new information to cause a change. It's just choosing from what's already there, and it's actually reducing the parts that it doesn't need. So today we're looking at that. We realize that the process of natural selection doesn't actually do it, so then something outside is doing it. And so this is an issue that most people aren't even aware of. And so when I see that, that lets you know there's clearly an intelligent mind behind life. And then when you look at physics and how the laws that govern our universe, it's structured and ordered in a way that there has to be a mind behind it. It's incredible. And so the reason I tie that into issues on your show is the bigger question of, if there was a mind that structured and organized life and physics and the universe's laws, that then ties into, is that mind also, did he also formulate morals and ethics? Because then if there is such a thing, now morals can actually be absolute and universal and concrete, not the moral relativist view that we've had pervading our society that believes that moral and ethics are like a preference, like a taste, like your favorite flavor of ice cream, and it can change person to person or culture to culture. And so I think this is a major issue. So whatever your worldview is, ultimately is going to dictate how you view ethics, and how you view ethics is going to affect how you treat other people and how we run or operate our society. And I think we're not addressing these questions, and we're dancing with these peripheral issues, but we're not dealing with the actual heart and foundation of what our worldviews are. I think I think it's important.
I appreciate
that.
We appreciate the call, Mike.
Where are you calling from, Mike?
Where are you calling from?
Right now I'm from Minnesota, but right now I think I'm in Alabama. I'm on a road trip right now.
All right. Thanks for calling and listening in, man.
How did you hear about the show?
No, I came across it in Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, I appreciate it, man. Thanks for listening. I hope you listen again. Thanks for calling in, man. We appreciate it, and I'm definitely going to check out that information you gave me and see if it definitely changes some of my views. But what you said was, I appreciate it, man. Thanks for calling in, and I hope you listen again.
Thanks for having me.
All right. Thanks, man.
But,
yeah, shout out to Mike, man. He brought some very deep, deep conversation here, man. My head is, like, spinning right now, honestly, what he was talking about. And I appreciate that. Yeah, he just...
Where's the bomb?
Yeah, I don't have the bomb sound on here. But he, you know, he
that
does...
That was rough. And I was a little nervous for a moment, Mike, and anybody watching on live stream on Facebook. The first thing I thought was, I think it might be a mistake to just release callers and put them right on the air. We need a screening process. You need to ask people where they're from and how they heard of us initially right off the bat.
Yeah, yeah.
And get where they're coming from first because, you know, that turned out well.
Yes.
That phone call.
Yes, yes.
But. That is definitely the alarm went off.
No, but I appreciate the call, Mike, and I'm always open to learning new information.
Safe travels, sir.
Safe travels, yeah, especially on a road trip in that part of the country. No, but real, he brought up some good points, and I think getting to the bare essence of everything, when you look at science, when you can kind of, you know, look at science and, I guess, the supreme being or the intelligent design or the mind, that supreme mind that is creating this stuff, definitely, if you can put those two together. And then he started to bring up the point about how once you kind of figure that out, then you figure out the morals and everything else that comes along with it. And a lot of the peripheral issues, unfortunately, where we are right now, not everybody's on, you know, your level or even our levels. I guess there's, you know, a friend of mine, Medea, once said that there's a, let's just say there's a structure, a pyramid, the top being, you know, God, Allah, whoever you want to call it, and then everybody being on certain levels and certain steps of that pyramid. And you can't really talk down to the people who are below you or kind of look cross-eyed at the people who are above you. You have to deal with where you are on your level and then try to bring people up to the higher level.
Do you believe that there are people beneath you?
No, I don't want to say, that's what I'm saying. It's not a question of being beneath. It's just they're on their own stream right now.
Do you believe that you're above?
No, I don't.
People?
I don't believe that I'm above anybody. What I believe in is that people go down their certain paths. I may look at someone and think, oh, that's a little ghetto, that's a little hood, but that's what you're dealing with. I can't really fault you for that, because that's all you. That may be the level you're at because that's all you know or you experience. So I can't really say, oh yeah, you know what you're doing is fucked up. I mean, into my mind, and if it's something morally fucked up, then yeah, I can look at you and be like, yeah, you know, you abusing your child or you doing something like that that kind of goes against the law of, I guess, right and wrong. I mean, again, the bottom line, regardless of what religion you believe in. I think the natural law, the human law, is you want to be treated like you're being treated. You don't want to cause harm to anybody. You shouldn't have the fear of someone causing you harm. You shouldn't follow any religion that tells you that you're better than someone else. That there should just be a universal law of do you, everybody treat with everybody with respect. Nobody, you know, come at anybody sideways based on, oh, well, you're white, you're black, you're Spanish, your disbelief or that belief. You know, that's why, you know, coming back to the point of the show of recklessness, I think it can be reckless when other religions or things of that nature, you know, kind of like dictate, you know, how you should treat other people or look at other people. But anyway.
I can appreciate it, what he was saying as far as where to start, you know, DNA and ethics and morals, and I get that. I think that that doesn't have to be the starting point. There's so much cleanup that we have to do,
mm-hmm.
and we can reach people on a more simple level,
mm-hmm.
Even if it's just kindness.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you can be kind to yourself, then you can be kind to someone else.
Mm-hmm.
That's simple,
mm-hmm.
you know, and that doesn't take education on any
mm-hmm.
level to understand.
Mm-hmm.
That's communication between an adult and a baby,
mm-hmm.
between babies. That's a simple concept.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that's, I think, a starting point.
Yeah. But, you know, thanks to Mike for calling in. We're about
How long are we going tonight?
We're going to end the show, I guess now. Before we end the show, we're going to definitely give a shout-out. Thank you, Mike, for calling in. I appreciate the call, brother.
Brother?
No, brother.
Let's pray, brother.
No, I'm going to call him bro because, or brother because
No, I don't question that.
Yeah,
he was a man.
Yeah.
And across the board, race is not an issue.
Yeah.
Your brother is in manhood.
Yes.
It says, any woman is my sister
mm-hmm.
in womanhood. So I'm not questioning that at all.
I appreciate everything, the point that he brought up, and I'm always willing to learn something new. And that book and that documentary, I'm definitely going to take a look at so I can enlighten myself more.
On another note, that $429 million Powerball ticket, there was one winner.
Really?
In the state of New Jersey.
Wow.
And we didn't play.
It might not have been us.
We didn't play, so it wasn't us.
But anyway, again, thanks to Mike for calling in and bringing up those great points.
Thanks, Kaz,
for checking out in the chat room.
Not sure where Dow is.
I don't know where AD is. He might have been listening tonight. If you missed us on the live show, catch the rerun. Go to blogtalkradio.com/theturnup.
Mr. and Mrs. Hardy, not sure if you guys are listening.
Mr. and Mrs. Hardy.
B. Hardy, come on.
Oh, Medea, you know, I'm sorry.
And Tillman.
Till and Medea, if you're out there, nothing but love. Those are the newlyweds in the group, you know what I mean? They're just in bliss right now. I love you guys. Once again, shout out to all the mothers. Happy Mother's Day. I hope you guys are having a lovely day and your significant other or your children are treating you like the queens you are. Once again, thanks for shouting us out, and hope you guys follow us. Come check me out when I do my comedy. Check my wife out if you want to get your yoga on. Get your life.
Maybe you'll see Vince in there.
Probably not. But anyway, before I go, let's try to cut the reckless mouthing and negativity out. And let's try to treat each other with respect.
That starts in your circle.
It starts in your circle.
Home. It starts when you go to work. It starts, you know, around your children.
Mm-hmm.
Around your spouse, you know, and it doesn't have to be, and just because it's something that you've done before
mm-hmm.
or you're used to doing doesn't mean you can't change it.
And whatever your belief system is, whatever your religion is, sometimes you got to put that organization of it to the side and just treat people with respect, treat people with love and kindness. And whether you're atheist, whatever, just the bottom line is to treat people with kindness and respect. And
it's okay to question things,
too. It's okay to question, but at the same time, you know, love yourself. And the way you want to be loved, you treat others that way. All right, so this has been a Turn Up. I'm Vincent Perez.
And Camelia Perez.
And I hope you guys have a great Sunday, the rest of the day, and the rest of the week. Peace.
Enjoy your week. Peace.